Everyone has heard stories from people who said that they prayed to God about what they needed, and to their delight, they discovered that God answered their prayers. But what about the times when you pray and you pray, and God remains silent? Lord God, in the silence of this sacred hour of worship, we ask that you will do what only you can do, which is to speak your holy word into our hearts. We ask it in the name of the Word incarnate, Jesus Christ. Amen. When Luke tells us the story of Jesus, he makes it very clear that the Savior's popularity quickly spread throughout Galilee. In chapter 4, verse 14, Luke says that Jesus began his ministry by teaching in the synagogue, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. Chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus cast a demon out of a man, and a report about him began to be made in every part of the region. Chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus heals a paralytic in front of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who, as Luke says, came from every village in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. In chapter 7, verse 17, Jesus comes upon a funeral procession for a man in the town of Nain. And when Jesus sees this man's weeping mother there in the procession, Jesus has compassion on her, and so he raises her son from the dead. And the people who saw this said, "A great prophet has risen among us." And then Luke said, "This word about him spread throughout all Judea and the surrounding country." According to Luke, everyone in Israel was talking about the amazing acts of Jesus. Now, this isn't hard to believe. Jesus taught like nobody had ever taught before. And not only could he teach, he could also cast out evil, and he could heal the sick, and even raise the dead. Yeah, I think news of a man who could do that would travel pretty fast and pretty far. In fact, the news has even traveled 2,000 years to our ears as well. We too have heard all about the amazing acts of Jesus. But wouldn't you love to see just one of these miracles? Just one. Wouldn't it be great to not have to rely simply on what you've heard about Jesus? Just one bona fide miracle, Jesus. That's all I need to see. Belief will be easy. Well, you're not the only one who missed the miracles and was forced to rely upon the testimony of others. Chapter 9, verse 7, we're told, "Now Herod, the ruler, heard about all these things and was perplexed, and he tried to see Jesus." But Herod never saw a single miracle performed by Jesus in Galilee. Maybe the king thought that if he just issued an invitation to come to the palace, that Jesus would be thrilled with the opportunity to have a royal audience. But Jesus actually wasn't much interested in performing for Herod. Jesus wasn't interested in performing for anyone. Jesus' miracles were always and only signs of his calling to heal the soul. Herod wasn't looking for someone to heal his soul. The last time a great prophet arose in Israel, it was John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist tried to speak to Herod's soul, he was imprisoned for his troubles and later executed. So in the 13th chapter of Luke, when we're told that the Pharisees went to find Jesus to tell Jesus that the king was looking for him, the Pharisees assumed that it was because Herod wanted to kill Jesus. But Jesus responded to the Pharisees by saying, "You tell that fox that this is the day for healing the people. The day for my dying will come when I am in Jerusalem." Well, now that day has come. In our text today, Jesus is standing for his third trial. Over the last 2 weeks, we have witnessed as Jesus was tried first by the religious leaders and then by Pontius Pilate. But you'll recall that Pilate was very uneasy with this trial for a man that was clearly innocent. And so when he discovered that Herod was visiting in Jerusalem, Pilate thought maybe he could get out of the situation by shipping Jesus over to Herod. And so now, finally, Herod and Jesus meet face to face. When we began our examination of these three trials of Jesus, I told you to pay particularly close attention to the questions that were being asked of Jesus in his interrogations, for these questions reveal the deep longings of the soul. The religious leaders asked Jesus if he was the Messiah because they had been looking and waiting for the Savior. Pontius Pilate asked Jesus if he was a king, because Pilate had been spending his life as a bureaucrat trying to serve a king worthy of service. And now we get to Herod. And we discover that Herod does not bring to Jesus his deep questions or the longings of his soul. The text tells us that all that Herod wanted was to see Jesus perform some sign. As Luke describes this scene, it doesn't even look like a trial. It looks like a circus. At least that's what Herod was hoping to turn it into. This king, who had obviously grown accustomed to being entertained, essentially says to Jesus, "Oh, I've been looking for you for a long time. This is great. Okay, I'm ready. Do something spectacular." But Jesus stood silently in the presence of the king. Of all of the characters in the Passion narratives, I think it is probably hardest for us to relate to Herod because we think we're not at all like him. But I wonder, again, wouldn't you like for Jesus to perform some sign for you? Just one? Wouldn't it be great at the end of a long and ugly day at the office, as you're driving home, to to miraculously discover Jesus in your front seat. And he looks over at you and he says, "Oh, you know, dump this job. I got a better one for you." Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if Jesus miraculously took away your disease or all of the terrors or all of the loneliness? Would you believe then, if he did the most miraculous thing for you and you saw it, would you believe then? I don't think so. The Pharisees saw all the miracles. They still didn't believe. The crowd saw the miracles, and as we'll discover next week, in the end, they still didn't believe. The guards at Jesus' tomb saw the most amazing miracle of all in the resurrection, and they still did not believe. We do not believe what we see. We see what we believe. The place where belief is born is in the soul, not the eyes. And the time when belief is born is when Jesus is silent, not when he is performing miracles. Divine silence creates space for choice. And that's what faith is. It is a choice. In the end, faith is not an emotional act. It's actually not even an intellectual act. In the end, it's an act of the will to make a spirit-filled choice. Herod missed this. But as Jesus stood silently before him, he was being given a moment to make the most ultimate choice of his life. But Herod didn't see that. He missed it. I've been with people, though, who didn't miss their moment. Their moment for an act of the will. Their moment to make a heroic choice. They didn't miss it. I've been in my office when a man came to see me to tell me that he had lost his job a year ago and he hadn't been able to find another. And now he's lost all of his savings trying to pay his bills. And he began to tear up as he told me how hard it was to explain to his children that now they were losing the house. I knew about this situation. We'd done all that we could to help. He'd met with me before. We had prayed and prayed about this. And now he took my hand after losing his house, and he said, "Would you pray with me again?" I've been in hospital rooms right after the doctor has explained that the disease has spread too far, and there's really nothing else that they're going to be able to do now. And the person in the hospital bed reached out and took my hand and said, "Would you pray for me again?" I've stood by the graveside after the casket has been lowered down into the ground, and the grieving widow beside me took my hand. She said, "Pastor, would you pray for me again?" Again. Why are we praying now. We prayed before the job was lost. We prayed before the health was lost, before the cherished old husband was lost. And Jesus remained silent. So why do they take my hand and ask me to pray again? Because in those prayers, they are actually taking the hand of a Savior they do not understand. They are making the heroic choice to let God be God. They are making the choice to still worship. And you cannot worship a God for whom you have a use. For whenever you limit God to his instrumental value in your life, you have just lost God. And when you lose God, you lose yourself. Herod had long ago lost himself in luxury and power. He wasn't looking even for salvation. He wasn't looking for anything out of his soul. He was bored, like some of us. He was just looking for a distraction. When Jesus refused to perform for the king, they threw a robe on him. They decorated him. They began to mock him. That is exactly what we also do to Jesus every time we insist that he perform for us. We decorate Jesus as our boyfriend when we try to make him the better lover in our life. We decorate him as a magician when we try to get him to make the boss or the ex-spouse disappear. We decorate him as only a sacred image of ourselves when all that we want for him to do is to tell us that we're right and they're wrong. It's all just a way of mocking this one who stands before us as the incarnation of God. Well, you can decorate Jesus any way you want to. You can even mock him. But he still will not be forced to perform for you. So if Jesus sometimes is still silent in response to those who are praying to avoid a crisis in life, do not be surprised if he also remains silent when you pray for a parking spot at church on Sunday morning. The reason we come to church is to worship a God who precisely does not always respond to our celestial email. We come to worship because our souls thirst for God. And in order for God to be God, he cannot be contained or captured by the yearnings of his creatures. Now, some of these yearnings are important. We know that we can get by without the parking space and without the extra money in the bigger house. We realize that. But how do you find the faith, the heroic faith, to keep worshiping when Jesus has remained silent in response to your prayers about a lost job or a disease or a loved one who has died? How do you withstand that with faith? I'll tell you how. Everybody that I know who has survived a crisis with their faith intact, got through it because they were prepared for that moment. And the way that they were prepared was by a lifetime of worship and prayer and Bible study. Why do we give Bibles to our third graders? Because we want to prepare them for the hard moments that are coming for every one of them. What we have placed in their hands is a word from God that will continue to speak to them on the day that the miracles don't show up. If you have grown weary of the silence of God in response to your prayers, if you're dying for a word from God, then open the book. Read it daily. Take these scriptures to heart. Get involved in one of our adult Bible classes. Form a Bible study with some of your friends. Because it is God's word to you, a word that always breaks the silence. For the same Holy Spirit who inspired the writing of those words is always, always speaking out of the text. When you place your life in front of these texts, these sacred texts, oh, I assure you, you'll find that God is speaking to you. In fact, He's telling you probably more than you want to know about your life. It is out of our great commitment for you to live with the words of God that speak when the miracles don't, that we have placed in the back page of the bulletin a copy of the lectionary readings, the daily readings. Many of us in this church are about the discipline of reading these texts every day. I'm one of them. And when I get done reading the selections for the day, I keep next to my Bible a little notebook. And on that day, I'll make just one page of notations about just a phrase, not even a whole verse. On the top of the page, I'll write just the one phrase from the readings that day that the Spirit of God has given me. It just really stands out to me. So I'll write that phrase across the top of the page. Then the rest of the page, I'll make some of my observations about how that phrase affects my life. The bottom of the page, I'll write a little prayer. This whole thing takes minutes. It doesn't take any time at all. But I'm telling you, it is just amazing as I go through the rest of the day how often that phrase from God's Word keeps appearing. The people I talk to, the stresses of the day, that phrase just keeps showing up. It just keeps speaking all day. It's almost miraculous. Let us pray. O God, by your Holy Spirit, allow us to hear your word in Scripture, that we might find the courage to believe and to worship, even when you are not reduced to your benefits toward us. Amen.